And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, you know, we get so much wonderful mail here at Power Prophecy, and I tell you, I eagerly read each and every letter. Emails, well, they come in the regular U.S. mail. I mean, I'm just sort of like a animal, you know, wanting to read these letters. I want to know what you have to say. I want to hear from you, my good friends out there. And we do get so many letters, and some of them I'm just so thankful for. You know, I get on the radio here, and I write in my newsletters, my books, my videos, and I just tell the truth. I just tell you the unvarnished truth. And I always think that somebody is going to come back and contest the truth. Somebody's going to come back and be angry at me. Well, a few do. A few do. But not many. Most of you are very thankful for the truth. And I got a letter from Rod and Laura. You know who you are, Rod and Laura? Thank you so much. It says, "Dear Tex, thank you for standing up for Jesus and exposing the dirty, rotten liar, Satan." Rod and Laura, that's great, isn't it? I mean, here's a plain-spoken couple. Thank you for standing up for Jesus and exposing the dirty, rotten liar, Satan. That's right up my alley. Rod and Laura go on to say, "We always wait patiently for your newsletter. You are dear to us. God bless you always, your brother and sister in Christ." And by the way, they gave a very generous gift to the ministry, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Now, here's another one, another letter from Jeffrey. You'll know who you are. You know, I don't want to give your last names. I don't know, some evil characters may look you up on, you know, or your address. But this person also gave a love gift to the ministry. It says, "Dear Tex, I would like to thank you for the trust that I have in you and your teachings about our Lord. For you to take the time out of your day to write me a letter when it was needed to get me out of this world and focus on our Lord. The most important one is you, Tex. You say you read all of your email. A lot of people say one thing, but not so with you. God bless, Tex. I, as we keep up the fight. This is what you call trust. Thanks again. You're in my prayers, Jeffrey." Well, thank you, Jeffrey. I like that. Trust. Trust. You can trust Tex Mars. You know, that's one thing that I've sort of grown famous for, or maybe infamous for those people that don't like it. You can trust me. I don't go back and do something, you know, behind the scenes. You know, if you read about something on the online or in the newspapers that I've done, you'll know it's a bunch of baloney, because I'm just really a simple fellow. I'm a simple fellow, but I believe in a great God. That's what it is. Hey, we're all sort of simple, aren't we? I mean, no matter how intelligent we think we are, no matter how brilliant you are, and believe me, we have brilliant folks that, I mean, lawyers, doctors, all kinds of professionals and non-professionals too, that are members of this ministry. But compared to God, that's all I'm comparing you with. You're probably more brilliant, more interesting and fascinating and all those great words than the average person out there. No doubt my audience is so much more intelligence. You think through things, you see through things, and you're able to see a pattern. You're able to read the Bible, to read the news, and to understand what's really going on. You connect the dots, as some people would say. You can't compare yourself to God. That's the whole point. I don't compare myself to God. I can't even imagine how intelligent God is. But I know something. He put me here to communicate with you. He put me in this radio program to communicate with you. And I'm going to do it. And no one is going to stop me until they take me away and put a piece of masking tape or something over my mouth and haul me away to an American gulag somewhere. Well, until then, we're going to keep telling the truth. And I enjoy it. I enjoy exposing that dirty, rotten old liar, the devil. Well, today we're going to talk about something that you may want to turn off the radio when you hear about it, because you're going to say, well, I've already heard about that. I've read that in the Bible. I know that. Why are you telling us that again? Well, maybe everybody needs to be reminded of homosexuality. The truth about homosexuals and transgenders and all those other perverted, you know, sex choices. Maybe you need to know what God said. Maybe you've never heard it. Maybe you read your newspapers and or you've gone to the church recently and you've heard this liberal pastor tell you how God loves homosexuals as much as he loves everybody else and how, you know, that he made them that way and it's a gift from God and all that garbage. Maybe you've heard about that. I mean, I'm about up to here on it. I mean, I'm sick and tired of it. And I didn't really want to preach on this today. But I thought I'd explain some of the things that are going on in the world. I mean, the homosexual revolution, as it's called, has really hit home. I mean, it's here in America. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's everywhere. And even though every time I do a program on this, I mean, we have gays that call us and tell us they're going to come down and burn our building or whatever they threaten us with. We don't care. Come on down. Our building's insured. We'll get a new building. I'll preach out on the sidewalk until the new building's built. I might not even build a new. I might buy a ship or something. I don't know. Then you can't come out unless you can swim to get to me. Whatever is the case. But critics say that not one word in the Bible is against homosexuality. That's what I'm reading. I'm hearing this in churches, pastors, lay people, theologians, learned men, so-called. They're saying, well, the Bible doesn't have one word against homosexuality. Nothing. And they want to know why I am so mean and cruel as to talk about such a sensitive subject. And then they say, well, even if everybody else in the Bible talks about it, Jesus doesn't say one word about it. No, Jesus doesn't say one word about it. Well, we're going to explode those myths today. Now, I'm going to show you what it says in the Bible. These are not all of the quotes. These are just a few. And you'll see the Bible has a lot to say about it. But let me tell you the greatest thing in the world is the covenant that Jesus Christ has with you and me as Christians. He came and he died on the cross and he wrote a new covenant. That confirmed the everlasting covenant. It confirmed it. But he clarified it and he made it greater because he wrote it on our hearts. That's where I know about homosexuality. I know it's wrong. I know it's evil. I know it's of the devil. It's written on my heart. This just, it tells me. Now, if it's not written on your heart, then you are not a Christian. What? Does Tex-Mars say that you can't be a homosexual and a Christian at the same time? That is exactly what I say. You can delude yourself. You can fool yourself. You can look in the mirror and say, I'm a homosexual. I'm okay. God loves me just the way I am. I'm going to stay this way and I'm going to be a Christian. No, you won't. You'll be a reprobate. God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. The Bible says so. I'm going to give you some Bible quotes here. And you tell me yourself.
Well, I just read the Bible in general. I don't look for specific quotes.
You know, these people are doing anything they can to explain why they're sinning. And that's what it is. It is a sin. Now, I've never had a homosexual experience, never wanted to. When guys come to me, I just avoid them. I leave them. When I was a young man in the Air Force, I had older people in uniform that tried to do something with me. And I go, whoa, hold on. You got the wrong horse here, buddy. You know, I may be younger. You may outrank me, but you know, you better cut that out. And I would go report them. And one guy who was, kicked out of the Air Force after 18 years. I went down and reported him to the Office of Special Investigation. This guy tried to invite me to go with him to some motel over the weekend. And, I want that stopped. Just because he outranks me, I'm a young airman, and I was at the time, I want that stopped. Well, it wasn't a week. I said, God handled it. Before the OSI could investigate further, he tried something on another young man in the dormitory, a very athletic young man named Mickey, and Mickey broke his arm, sent him to the hospital, and then they had to discharge him. I'm glad I didn't have to do that. But what he tried to do to Mickey, I'm not going to tell you, but, he deserved it. You don't go in and try to things on younger people like that in uniform and think because you're an older sergeant, they'll have to go along with it or be frightened or whatever. Hey, I didn't care. They could discharge me from the Air Force before I'd go along with something like that. But today there's all these gays that are approved for the military. First they had don't ask, don't tell. That was nonsense. You know what? That's a lie. That's a dirty satanic lie. Don't ask, don't tell. What does that mean? It means to lie. Omission is certainly a lie. If you know of something and you lie about it, there you are. Don't ask, don't tell. But now they can tell. Now you can get out of your uniform and dress up like, if you're a man, dress up like a woman. If you're a woman, you can dress up like a man. You can have, wear a wig, whatever. Put on makeup. I remember Sarah Palin said something about pigs wearing lipstick. Well, that's what I'm thinking about. How about you, folks? A lot of pigs wearing lipstick. They're in the military service. But if the military man says one word about it, they're going to discharge him. They're going to say something bad about him. Well, thank God back in my day, they didn't do that. Office of Special Investigation thanked me for coming forward. In fact, they showed me, they said, we've got a folder, and it was about 3 inches thick. We've got a folder on him. Look at that. That thick. That's how many times that man had been reported. But God took care of it. Of course, it broke his arm. He had somebody else to take care of it. Now, listen what the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 3 through 10. Tell yourself, does the Bible not say these things? Listen to this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor effeminate. You know what effeminate is? It's a man that has feminine ways. You've seen them. You know what they are. You see it on TV. They're pushing that. They're trying to push it down our throats. We know all about that. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and such were some of you. Ooh. He's talking to the church. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord. Some of you were these things. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were effeminate, were gay, as it's called today.
back in the King James day. They just called it effeminate. Some of them were. He said, you used to be these things, but you're not anymore. You're not anymore. You've been washed. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sins. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's true. It's absolutely a fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 goes on and says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, who owns your body? If you're a Christian, God does. God owns your body. And he actually has made you as a receptacle for the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by doing these horrible acts. Your body belongs to God. It belongs to God. And God is not going to cause you to do these things. He's going to keep you from doing them. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I mean, think about that, folks. I just have to keep sinning and keep being a homosexual or a lesbian or homosexual because, you know, my body, I just crave it. I lust for it. Your body is not your own. If that's the way you're thinking, Satan has a grasp on your body. Satan is inside you. Get him out. Ask Jesus help. He's not going to turn you away if you're sincere. Well, Romans 1, verses 24 through 31 says, wherefore God also gave them up, talk about homosexuals now, up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Homosexuals, that's what he's talking about. God gave them up to uncleanness. They didn't worship God and he gave them up. This is the important thing. If you keep God in your spirit, if you glorify God, if you tell God, God, my body is yours. But if you don't, if you allow yourself these lusts, if you allow yourself to think on them, to dwell on them, he's going to give you up. Now, as long as you sincerely want to remain with God and glorify God in your body and spirit, he's going to stay with you. But the lust of your own heart will cause you to dishonor your own body. It says, it's talking about people who, quote, changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I was made this way. That's a lie. God says it's a lie. You're changing the truth of God into a lie. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. God gave them up because of the lust of their flesh, the uncleanness of them, and their desires. They did not glorify God in their bodies and hearts, but they sought the world and the things of the world and the things of the flesh, and God gave them up. Now, friends, the devil is always after you. The devil's always going to tempt you. The devil's always going to try to bring you in these things. But if you glorify God and you continue to have God in your spirit and you keep praying to God, God's not going to give you up. He doesn't say, oh, well, it's a contest between me and Satan. Here, I'm gonna let you have this one, Satan. I'll take that one over. No, he's going to keep you right there with him. He's going to be in your heart. I don't agree with these people that say I was born this way. No, they agreed. I don't know what happened to them in their life. They had experiences, homosexual experiences. Maybe some older man, some older woman did terrible things with them, caused them to think, to have lust, to be that way. But that was before they knew God. When you know God, then God will protect you. He'll keep you from that. Now, somebody forces you into it. It's not your will. I mean, if you're raped or something, then God is, and listen, I feel sorry for the person. You want to rape a Christian? Are you insane? God's going to take care of you. You're going to wish you were in prison. You're going to wish you were on death row. Women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. Uh-oh. They received it in themselves. People say, well, is that why I got AIDS? It could be. I'm not saying God does what he wants. Is that why I've got some venereal disease? It could be. I know one thing, you'll receive it in yourself. I don't know what you're going to have, cancer, some other disease. I don't know. Maybe God's going to take you from this planet. Maybe, I don't know what he's going to do. And even as they did not lack to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the key to it, folks. They did not lack to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to keep thinking about God. They didn't want to glorify God. They didn't want to say, God, help me. Keep me pure. Keep me honest. Keep me from falling into this terrible sin. So God just gave them over to a reprobate mind. You say, well, they couldn't help it. They can help it. They willingly turn themselves over to Satan. Who in their right mind would turn themselves over to Satan? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. When God turns you over to a reprobate mind, he does it right. He washes his hands of you. Go on then. You don't want to glorify me? You don't want to retain the knowledge of me in your mind? Then go on. I'm going to make you reprobate. You don't know how far you're going to fall, friends. You're not just going to get off the freeway onto a side road. You're going to get way, way off, way into the countryside, out into the boonies, out in the... Oh. You're going to be filled with all unrighteousness. How much? All.
Wow.
How far is Satan going to take you? As far as God will let him. Satan has no powers of his own, but God allows him to operate. To the extent that you don't retain God in your knowledge, then God turns you over to reprobate mind and allows Satan to have you. That's why these people are going into our churches saying what they're doing is good. That's why they're marrying each other, man and man and woman. That's why they're changing our school curriculum. That's why they're publishing these sick, disgusting, homosexual-oriented books. They're haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters.
God made me this way. I'm proud to be a homosexual.
You're a boaster. You're an inventor of evil. He didn't invent you like that. You did. He goes on to say, without understanding. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. God has given you a covenant. He's saying, here, I give you a covenant. I write my law into your heart. You say, I don't want that. I don't want to know about that. I don't want to have that in my heart. You're without natural affection, it says here. Without natural affection. Homosexuality is not natural. It's unnatural. Implacable, unmerciful. It's unmerciful. But I've met so many nice homosexual men, and there's this show on TV, and there's these two guys that are married, and they're such comedians, and they're such lying, dirty, filthy cowards who did not retain God in their knowledge. That's what they are. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Does God mince words? No, he doesn't. He doesn't say, well, if I tell people the truth, they're going to leave the church. I'm not going to get their offerings next week. I'm not going to get the money to continue this ministry. I've just got to sort of lay low here a little bit. I've got to tell them it's all right to do what they're doing. I've got to. No, God doesn't do that. Who, these homosexuals, male or female, or transgenders, whatever you want to call them, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They do it anyway. They know that God doesn't. They're lying. They're filthy liars when they say, God wants me to be this way. God made me this way. They have pleasure in them that do the same. In Romans 2, verse 6 says, God will render to every man according to his deeds. Oh, don't think you're going to escape. You're not going to escape. God's got his eyes on you. He's watching you. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you're thinking. Now, let's go to Jesus. That's what Paul said. Well, I don't believe Paul. I don't even read the Bible where Paul said things. I'll listen to Jesus only. Well, then listen to him. What did Jesus have to say? Well, first of all, we know that Jesus created the whole universe, the whole world. And he created man and woman. That's right. Man and woman. Genesis 5:2 says he created them male and female. It doesn't say here he created them male and female and transgender. He created them male and female and blessed them. Genesis 1 says he created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Well, wait just a minute now. I don't have any, there's no transgender here. There's no transgender here. And they ask God about marriage, about divorce. And he said his intent from the beginning really was that man, one man and one woman should marry each other. One man, one woman. I don't hear anything about this same-sex marriage. They're trying to push that in every state of the union. Where is that in the Bible? Now, I know that they're doing, they go out and they do anything they want to. I'm not going to prevent them from it. I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not asking you to hurt anyone. I'm not asking you to do anything to them. I'm just asking you to be a Christian, to glorify God in your body. And if you glorify God, you have to believe in his holy Bible and his word. And his word says this, honor his word. You can be a homosexual, just don't say you're a Christian at the same time. This is a rush to destruction, being gay, promoting gayism. Now, there's a lot of you out there, man and woman, married. You say, well, I don't do homosexual acts. I've never done anything like that. I don't believe in that. But I can understand why they do, and I think it's okay. And my next-door neighbor or my cousin or maybe my son or maybe my dad, I don't know. He's a homosexual, and he's okay. Is he? You don't know. You don't read his heart. God reads his heart. God knows what is in the heart of every man. In John 6, verse 66. Get that? John 6, verse 66. God did not accept them because he knew what was in the heart of every man. John 6, verse 66. Now we're going to talk about more, and I want to give you some examples. The Pope Francis is one of them. He and his papal pals, they're soft on homosexuality. But there's more than that. There's all these Baptists out there. There's all these I'm gonna give you some names, and even a Pentecostal guy. He was caught fondling young men. I'm gonna give you their names. Dishonoring God. Vile affections. This is Tex Mars. Stay right with us. We'll be right back with more. You know, every year we have a program in which we here at Power Prophecy ask you to help us to help the children at the Texas Children's Home. That's a nonprofit group. It's a Christian group. And as far as I know, they don't get any money from the government. They only get it from Christians who give willingly. These are special kids. You know, they're not little babies. They're, well, you know, 5 years old, 6, 8, 10, 12. A few up in the teen years. They have a ranch out there, too, for the boys. You know, they ride horses and such, and they take care of the farm animals. And every year we ask you to give. Now, we make sure they have plenty of Bibles out there, King James versions. We give them plenty of Bibles every year. And we make sure the kids have a Christmas. Now, they don't have any parents, most of them. Don't have any living with them. They have some dads, they're in prison, or they're dead. Some of their moms are druggers, and they're not anywhere around. They can't take care of the kids. They're drugsters. And these kids have house parents. You know, there's a couple for every, you know, I guess you'd call it a house or a hut or whatever. They're nice places where they live, but they don't have the love of an individual father and mother. And we want them to know that they're loved by you, by us. Every year we have this offering on the radio and on our newsletter, and we ask you to give. Now, let me just assure you, this is like no other charitable offering, because not one cent of this is going to go into our fund and be used by us. We will not use one penny of this. Every cent will go direct to the kids. We don't even give most of it, about 98% of it probably, to the orphanage. We give it to the children directly. And we buy them gift certificates to Walmart, to Target. And they go buy coats and school supplies, things that parents usually provide for kids, but these kids don't have parents. And I'll tell you, the best of the house parents have their kids to sit down and write us little letters of thank you. And they tell us what they bought with their money, with their help. They thank us for the Bibles. And they know somebody cares for them. Power of Prophecy Ministries. They know that you love them, that you really care. This means a lot. It means a lot to these kids. Think about it. Think about it. They don't expect anything, and suddenly they get they get Power of Prophecy bringing them these gifts. And every cent, too. We don't keep any of it. Now, all these other charities, they keep 20%, 30%. Some keep 80 or 90% for themselves. Some are just frauds. But not Power of Prophecy. Every cent is kept in a, you know, separate, you know, little voucher. We keep a list of everybody that gives your name, where you're from, how much you gave. Then we add it all up, and the kids get it. And that's a nice thing for you to know. The kids are going to get this. The kids, directly. We make sure of it. Well, if you want to help, here's how you can do it. Just send us your love gift. It can be $5. It can be $25. It can be $100. It can be $1,000. Whatever you can give. They're not going to refuse it, believe me. We're going to put it all together. So it's going to be, all these. Of course, let's see, how many kids did we have last year? About 120 some odd, I think. About 120 kids down there, yeah. So, you know, we've got to divide it out and everything. But please do give. I just cry every year when I read their letters. Some of them are so, they're just so taken. Can you imagine kids getting beaten, abandoned by parents? And then they're put in this children's home. And then we bring them these gifts. many of them, I'm sure, just can't understand, how can anybody care about me? But we do. So please do give. Now, when you write to us with your love gift, or you can phone us too, of course, would you please tell us this is for the children? This is for the children's home. We're going to keep it separate. All right? And at any time, you can call and say, how much did I give if you forget how much you've given? But we're going to keep it separate and make sure that every penny gets to the children's home. All right? Now, if you want to give to us here at this Power of Prophecy, we need your gifts too. So maybe you'll want to give, let's say, $20 to the kids and maybe $20 to us. Some will want to give, you know, $10 to us and $5 to the kids. But please specify and say, okay, Tex, here's my $50. Please make half of it to the kids and half to the ministry. Or here's $50. Give $10 to the ministry and $40 to the kids. I don't care, but whatever you give, make sure you specify, okay? So we put a part of it into the ministry, and it'll go there, and then a part of it into the kids, a program. Texas Children's Home in Round Rock, Texas. Look them up in the phone book there. Texas Children's Home in Round Rock, Texas. We'll be glad to do it. I don't know, Jerry, how many years have we been doing this now? A long time. About 10, 12 years, something like that. Yeah, well, Wanda started it. Wanda just felt that, you know, she has a heart for it. And she's so thrilled. And I know, was it last year, year before last, we didn't quite get as much as we wanted. And yeah, so we just dug into our pockets. All the employees here got together, gave an offering. Then we had Power of Prophecy, Wanda and I. So we just gave from the ministry because there wasn't enough from the people. But I think that was my fault because I didn't really let the folks out there know that we had this great need. And there's nothing wrong with us giving. It's just that we said, wait, we need more. We need more. We're going to have to give. And it was too late to ask for any more. But I'm asking you in time, folks. I'm asking you in plenty. You got plenty of time now. Please do give, okay? All right. Please send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay, you can go, by the way, on Power of Prophecy and make a donation to the kids' home or to the ministry, powerofprophecy.com, or just textmars.com. It'll all get to the very same place. I don't even see the money that comes in. It just comes in, and we count it. We have a couple people that count it, and everything is done the righteous way, the right way. Because I know something. God is watching us as well. God watches us. And we're going to make God happy every time. By the way, you can call us here toll free and make a donation too. Just call 1-800-234-9673 and tell the lovely receptionist, I want to make a gift to go to the children's home or to your ministry. All right? Just call us 1-800-234-9673. All right. Let's return to our regular program. Well, a tidal wave of gay theology is looming. An evangelist told me some years ago, he says, Tex, look for it. A tidal wave of gay theology is looming. I thought about that at the time. What is gay theology? Now, of course, gayism, homosexuality is increasing. And, of course, it's sanctioned by our government. And look, we've got to, I mean, they even say that Barack Obama is a homosexual. I don't know if he is or not. I don't really get into his personal life very much. But I know that he has sanctioned, he has approved it. And he's made America into a much greater, sicker homosexual nation. He's a very sick man, Barack Obama, believe me. But now I'm reading. Here's a story about a woman named Vicky Beeching. B-E-E-C-H-I-N-G. She's announced she's a lesbian. She's an evangelical Christian worship singer. Well, I was reading about a man, Scott Lively. He's an attorney, a Christian attorney. He wrote a book about this horrible gay movement. And you know what? He's been sued. He's been sued by atheist activists in Uganda, over in Africa. How can you sue somebody for writing a book, giving you his opinion? Well, the U.S. District Judge Michael Posner, a Jew, said the case can continue. Wow. There's this African group called Sexual Minorities Uganda, or SMUG. That's their name. They've sued Mr. Lively. They say that his speech and his writings about homosexual behavior are, quote, a crime against humanity in violation of international law. Now, these suits are just dismissed. I mean, everybody laughs about them. How can you sue an American for stating an opinion? Well, the judge says you can do it, U.S. District Judge Michael Posner. I think that there's another sick man. He's a Jewish man. I'm not asking you to write Judge Posner. I'm not asking you to find out where he lives and harass him. Don't do anything like that. If anything, pray that God will take care of this matter. God knows how to handle people like Posner. Who knows? He might turn him into a Christian. Might happen. Well, Lively's attorney, Horatio Miette of Liberty Counsel, says that his client's preaching is protected by the Constitution. But why did Posner, he took nearly 80 pages to say that he thought Smug's allegations were substantive and need to be adjudicated? Baloney. Meanwhile, a Baptist church in Kentucky is planning their first gay wedding. Isn't that just okie dokie? There's a pastor there named Pastor Phelps, Joe Phelps. He said it takes courage to step into the unknown. It takes courage? No, because homosexuality is popular today. If you're pro-homosexual, boy, you're going to go far. You're going to get Hollywood gigs. You'll become a star. But if you say anything negative about homosexual, they'll discharge you from the military. They'll kick you out. You certainly won't get anything going in Hollywood. You won't even be able to keep your job, a regular job, because you said you did not approve homosexuality. It takes courage to be one of the first churches to do this, says this perverted guy, Joe Phelps. Now, why do I say he's perverted? Because he approves homosexuality. Louisville, Kentucky. Highland Baptist. Boy. Then here's another one in the story. Calvary Baptist Church. Think of the name, Calvary. Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins. Now, there's a Baptist church that ordained a transgender woman. A transgender woman who attended George W. Truett Theological Seminary. She pastored a church, or he pastored a church, in Central Texas. Boy. Allison Robinson, now a woman, used to be a man. Now she's been accepted at this church. Meanwhile, here's a news item from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. For as long as he can remember, it says, the Reverend Randy Eddie McCain wanted to be a preacher. As a boy growing up in Warren, he loved his Pentecostal church. He prayed fervently each night. Oh, isn't that nice? And was at church on Sundays and Wednesdays and any other time he could go. When the time was right, he enthusiastically answered the altar call to give his life to Jesus. The only problem is, Eddie McCain realized he was attracted to other boys. Homosexuality was a sin in the eyes of his church. He knew that, but he also knew that he felt called to be a minister. Well, he says that he finally decided to reconcile his Christian faith with his homosexuality. Reconcile, that means he's accepted it. He became the preacher he always wanted to be. Now he's at the Open Door Community Church in Sherwood, Arkansas. And he's recently released a book, And God Save Judy Garland. Well, He said he used to love the Wizard of Oz movie, and so he's written this book. The Reverend Randy Eddie McCain, pastor of Open Door Community Church. He said exposing his life story so openly is scary, but he hopes the book will offer some comfort to readers who might also be wrestling with their faith and sexual orientation. Oh, boy. Meanwhile, we go to the city of Houston. Now, you know what just happened there. They have a lesbian mayor. And I think it was Pastor Ed Young that blessed her at her inaugural. Pastor Ed Young of Second Baptist Church, a huge Baptist church there. Mayor Anise Parker, homosexual. You see, Mayor Anise Parker and her lovely mate, this other woman, thought that it wasn't right just for her to be a homosexual and to appreciate it, but she wanted to make it possible for all homosexuals to be appreciated by everybody throughout the city of Houston. Now, Houston is one of the nation's largest cities, and the city council, made of all these perverts that voted, yes, voted for an ordinance to allow men to go to women's bathrooms and women to go to men's bathrooms if you're a transgender. Now, I want you to think about that. Your little girl of 7 or 8 years old needs to go to the bathroom. So you're a man, you stand outside and tell her going in, you'll watch the door for her. And you see some other dirty old man walk in and he says, whoa, just a minute, my daughter's in there. Well, that's okay, I'm a transgender. It ain't going to work that way. You're not going to let that man in there. You don't know what he is. He could be a rapist. He could be a dirty pervert that's going to harm your little girl. You're not going to let that man in. But the Houston City Council says you will let him in. You will allow men to go in women's bathrooms and women to go in men's bathrooms. How sick can that be? Well, some pastors objected to this ordinance. And guess what? Mayor Parker got a judge to go after him. Yeah, sent him subpoenas demanding their sermons against homosexuality, against her ordinance. She said, I'm not going to allow you to speak out against this ordinance. And she subpoenaed their sermons. This is America, folks. Pastors can preach anything they want, and you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to go listen to it either. You don't have to go to their church. You don't have to. Now, the Attorney General of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, who now just got elected as the governor of the state of Texas, he sort of took care of this because he sent a letter to the city council and to Mayor Anise Parker and said, no way, you're not going to do this. This is a violation of the United States Constitution and the Texas Constitution. Ooh. Mayor Parker knew she had done the wrong thing then. She thought this was really going to go over with the citizens. They're going to love me for harassing these pastors. No doubt she was planning to put them all in jail for preaching against homosexual. Actually, what they were against was not homosexuality. They probably were against that. But against men going to these little girls' restrooms and women vice versa. You see, they don't want you to recognize their, not just to recognize their homosexuality. They want to do the filthy, dirty things with your kids. Now, I'm sure Mayor Parker would say, I'm not like that. I would not want to do anything like that with the kids. No. Well, you're allowing dirty old men to go in the restrooms with little girls. Come on. You're allowing lesbians to go in restrooms with little boys. You should be ashamed of yourself, Mayor Parker. Well, the pastor said, we're not going to yield up our First Amendment rights. And they didn't. And thank God for the conservative Republican governor, and that was then Attorney General a couple weeks ago. They don't have to. And that'll shut them up for a little while, but they're going to come back. They're going to try something else. Now, here's one that makes me sick. You know, I was in Florida. I was on a Christian television program down there. One, and I went in, and while we were sitting in their green room, that's sort of the waiting room, they had a program where they were playing over there. It's a Christian network, goes across the nation. down in, I forget where, Tampa, Florida. They had a guy on from Grace Cathedral in Ohio. Grace Cathedral. Looked like a pretty large church. And the guy was preaching, and I was looking at him very carefully. This TV was on. Now, while we were waiting to go on TV, he was already having his sermon. It was being broadcast all the way from Ohio, and we were watching it down there in Florida. His name was Ernest Angley. Pastor Ernest Angley. It was Grace Cathedral. And he wore the brightest, I don't know, you should see the colors of his outfit he wore. And his voice was very strange and girly-like. And I turned to one and I said, "That guy's gay, isn't he?" She said, "Yeah." And I asked the woman there, "Who is that?" And she said, "Ernest Angley," the woman helping us in the green room. She said, "He's very popular up in Ohio at this Pentecostal church, Cuyahoga Falls Church. He's a legend up there, television evangelist. He's a faith healer." Well, I came back here to Austin, Texas. It was about 3 months later. Somebody sent me a picture of him from their newspaper. He was sitting at his desk, and it had a nameplate on it. It had his name on it, Angley. And it said, "This is Pastor Ernest Angley of, you know, Grace Church." They also had not only his name, but they had a dragon on it. On the nameplate, he had a dragon on it. Oh, now they said, "Tex, isn't the dragon the devil? Isn't that in the book of Revelation?" "Well, yes, it is." They said, "Well, he's proud to have that on his nameplate, the dragon." Now I get this news report from the Akron Beacon Journal, October 16, 2014, that Ernest Angley has been recommending that women have abortions and that men have vasectomies. He's recommending all the women of his church have abortions. Pregnant women are encouraged to have abortions. Childless men are encouraged to have vasectomies. And Angley, listen to this, who preaches vehemently against the sin of homosexuality, is himself, according to allegations, a gay man who, get this, personally examines the genitals of the males in his church. Can you believe that? 3,000 seats the auditorium has. 3,000 people. He requires the young men of his church to come into his office, drop their pants, drop their underwear, and he, with his own hands, examines their genitals. And he tried to... He says, "I'm not a homosexual. God wouldn't use a homosexual like he uses me. He calls me his prophet, and indeed I am." Now, I'm sorry I can't affect the little girliness in my voice like Pastor Angley. They call Jesus a homosexual. Did you know that? But you can't stop the people's lies. Then he explained why he examined the young boy's private parts. He said, "I've helped so many of the boys down through the years. They had their misgivings. Sure, I'd have them uncover themselves." Oh, boy. Friends, this is a sick man. This is a dirty old man. Now, it goes the way he's... I'm not... My goodness. Now, some of the members of the church have quit. They say he's a pastor of a cult, and the people will do anything he says. "This man is a monster," says Pam Cable of Akron, who left the church way back in 1988. "He's a monster, and I cannot understand why all these years have gone by and nobody's ever really been able to do anything about him." These people in his congregation would drink the Kool-Aid if he told them to do it. They would. "This place is a textbook cult," says Kenny Montgomery, another former member, and they go on. He says the world is such an evil place that he recommends all women get abortions. He doesn't want women raised in a world like this one. Folks, there's probably other pastors around the United States just like this dirty old man. This filthy, dirty Pentecostal preacher. And there's more. I've got so many cases here. Here's a news item. It says, recently, 22-year-old Matthew Vines became a new voice in the homosexual Christian community with a message he delivered at a Midwest church that promoted homosexual Christianity. In his address, Vine asserted that all the biblical passages dealing with homosexual behavior have been wrongly interpreted and do not prohibit loving and monogamous homosexual relationships. But I read you the verses, not all of them, but I read you the verses. I guess I should have read Sodom and Gomorrah to you, what happened there. Burnt to a crisp. Thy heaping fire and brimstone. Because of what the gays were doing there. And these people that are bringing these things, the Bible has something to say about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Believe it not. That's what they are. They're deceitful workers, false apostles. And the Pope. Now, the Pope was asked about homosexuals. Should homosexuals leave the church? Is it a sin? You know what he said? Who am I to judge? That's what the Pope said. Who am I to judge? Well, the Bible says we're priests. We're under God. We've got Jesus Christ within. We can judge. You're supposed to exercise righteous judgment. If it's righteous, you can judge a person. Don't judge unrighteously. You're the Pope. Of course, we know what the Pope is, don't we? You can read the book we got by Martin Luther. He tells you about the Jews, and I guess the Pope was about the same spiritual condition at the time, and he still is. This Pope favors homosexuality. Now, he recently had a big meeting of cardinals, and they couldn't agree on homosexuality and whether married, there are people living outside of marriage, living together, should be allowed to go to the church, things like that. And the Pope got angry about it. I guess he wanted them to approve these things, that homosexuals could be allowed into the church happily and all that. And I understand the Pope fired one of the conservative cardinals, just fired him. Wait and see what else this Pope from Argentina, I believe he is, what he's going to do in the future. He's an evil man, folks. Pope Francis. He and all of his buddies. You know, there are so many Catholic seminaries now training priests, and they will not even allow normal people. You've got to be a homosexual, or they will not even allow you to enroll there. Isn't that an amazing thing? Joel Osteen has more people going to his church than anybody in America. He welcomes the Pope's emphasis on, get this, inclusion. He wants to include the gays. We should not look at their sex, he says. Joel Osteen, he and the Pope want to accept gays. Accept them. Oh, I accept them too, but they've got to change. Or God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. That's what he says in his word. I believe his word. Do you, folks? I suspect you do. In fact, I know most of you do. Well, this is Tex Mars, thanking you for listening to today's program. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.